air and naval forces of the United States launched
Homeland.
A series of strikes against terrorist facilities.
Sun-Am Flight 103 crashed into the town of Lockerbie.
He has sanctioned acts of
Claire Danes, Damian Lewis, Morena Baccarin,
against Kuwait.
His relentless pursuit of terror.
David Harewood, Diego Klattenhoff, Jamie Sheridan,
is a despicable and cowardly act.
David Marciano, Naveed Nagathpan, Jackson Pace, Morgan Saylor, and Mandy Patinkin. Grainy black and white images of the World Trade Center burning.
We must, and we will, remain vigilant at home and abroad.
A sign for the George Bush Center for Intelligence.
What the fuck are you doing?
I missed something once before. I can't.
It was 10 years ago. Everyone missed something that day.
Everyone's not me.
Carrie listens on headphones. Brody looks out at Capitol Hill. A helicopter flies overhead.
Previously on Homeland.
How come I never heard of this guy?
Oh, Quinn?
Just check him out.
So he met some guy on the city bus?
You know him?
Darren Dahl.
That's Darren Dahl?
That's him. In the flesh.
Hello.
Hey, it's me.
Carrie, I need you to go get my family right away. Take them somewhere safe.
CIA sent me, Jess. There's a threat.
Whoa, this is sick. Thank you for being here.
Jessica joins Mike in bed.
Carrie, he's here. He's in America.
Abu Nazir? How is that even possible? Jesus Christ!
If that's a device, it's at least 200 pounds.
Tech 1, Tech 2, Tech 3, move now. Over.
Nazir's team are captured.
FBI! Show your hands!
It's not him. It's not Abu Nazir.
To Peter.
Stand down. You still need him. I say again, stand down.
What the hell are you doing here?
We got him, Brody. Your information was good.
Got him all?
All but Nazir. He's still out there.
Saul makes his way into a large diner, where an older man is sitting at a counter at the back of the restaurant eating waffles. When Saul takes a seat next to him, he does a double take. Saul nods and the man goes back to his food.
Walter's waffles for lunch every Tuesday. Some habits die hard, I guess.
Little things that can count on mean more and more to me as I get older. You find that?
I find that everything means more to me as I get older.
Plus, I've got a crush on Berta.
A rotund waitress.
I went by your house.
Oh.
New owners. Nice people.
There's no point in keeping a house anymore. I have to move every few weeks. Christ, I miss the Cold War.
Prefer the daily threat of nuclear annihilation?
No, I miss the rules. The Soviets didn't shoot us, we didn't shoot them. Or this bunch.
Thought you retired.
Oh, I tried. I tried.
Tell me about Peter Quinn.
Peter Quinn?
You met with him last night around 8. Number 7 bus.
Who's asking?
Me.
Just you. Peter Quinn is one of mine.
Saul looks away from him.
Why would Estes put a off-the-book black ops guy in charge of a straight-up intelligence operation?
He didn't tell me. He just asked for a soldier.
Soldiers kill people.
They also fix airplane engines and cook bad food. It was a figure of speech. Maybe Estes put Quinn in there just to keep his eye on you. Maybe he doesn't trust you.
Why wouldn't he trust me?
You're still afraid to get your hands dirty, Saul?
I still prefer to figure the problem out, not obliterate it.
You're too sensitive for this line of work. You always have been. I'm amazed you've lasted this long.
Saul nods.
Me too.
He grabs his hat and walks out. At the Safe House apartment.
Rhodey called?
Not yet.
You will.
I know.
Listen, Jessica, about last night.
Hey, shh. I loved last night. It was fun.
Was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I keep waiting to feel guilty.
They kiss, then pull away swiftly at the sound of the door. The CIA agent comes in, followed by Brody.
Brody. I'll be next door.
She pecks him on the cheek.
Welcome home.
Pretty posh. Thanks for helping out, Mike.
No problem. We go pack my bags.
Mike leaves them alone.
Everything good?
Everything's great. Hey, Dad.
Hey, buddy.
He gives Chris a huge hug. Then Dana appears, looking distant and confused.
Hi, Dad.
Be heading out. You guys need anything else? Give me a holler. Hey.
Chris gives him a hug.
See you around.
He glances at Dana before heading out.
Dad? Are you a spy now?
No, I'm just a congressman who helped the CIA.
So you won't be disappearing again?
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Dana frowns a little.
I've got homework. You too, you got a book report to write.
Chris sighs as he leaves the room. Jessica stares at Brody.
So what happens next? Do we get to go home?
Not quite yet.
Well, the kids can't miss any more school without falling behind. They're going stir crazy.
I noticed.
So am I.
I noticed.
She looks away from him, then he stands to face her.
It's good that Mike was here.
Yeah, it helped.
She lowers her gaze for a moment.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
His phone starts to ring.
Dana told me it was Carrie that stopped you from letting her go to the police.
Yes, it was.
Go ahead, answer it.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
So, the Attorney General's ready to honor our agreement with you, but as we discussed, there are a few things we'll need to do first.
Resign from Congress?
For starters. You also have to tell Walton that you're passing on the VP spot. The press are going to have a lot of questions when you do, so we're going to have to figure out what you're going to say.
I could say it's personal. Just decided to put family before politics.
How is the family?
I honestly don't know.
Well, you can all go home soon. That should help. You okay?
Yeah. You?
It's good to hear your voice.
Yours too.
Talk to you later.
He smiles to himself, then pockets his phone. Carrie's driving along.
Market stocks fell for a fifth day, led by resources company.
She changes the station. A truck smashes into her car at speed.
The President of the United States personally called the director this morning and congratulated him on a job well done.
Saul's appeared at the back of the room.
That's the good news. The bad news is we still don't have Abu Nazir yet.
With FBI help, we've dropped a net over the DC metro area. Maryland and Virginia State Police and the National Guard have joined the search.
Find it out?
We have begun interrogation of the four captured terrorists.
What do you say?
Quinn is one of his.
So what's he doing here?
That's a good question.
There'll be plenty of time for celebrating after we get Nazir. I am personally looking forward to at least several martinis.
I had a talk with Darndal. He confirmed that Peter Quinn, or whatever his real name is, comes from his side of things. So again, I ask, what's he doing in my operation?
His operation, Saul. It's his operation. And now it's over.
Is it?
Yes.
Why is he still here? Brody knows that you and Walden ordered a drone strike against the madrasa full of kids.
So?
So it could be that Quinn's an insurance policy against that information ever becoming public.
An insurance policy? Just what exactly are you implying?
Only that you and Walden went to great lengths once before to cover up the drone strike.
Is this an accusation?
I'm only asking a question, David.
Oh, God damn it, Saul. I'm not going to dignify it with an answer.
Is that a yes?
Fuck you, Saul. Fuck you!
Mind interrupting?
No, what's up?
Carrie's been in an accident. DC police found a car on 17th Street all smashed up. It was broadsided.
She hurt?
They can't find her.
What do you mean they can't find her?
She's not there. They're looking in local hospitals.
Get over to 17th Street.
David waits as Saul races out.
He knows.
Peter doesn't respond. Brody's playing cards with Chris.
Oh, you dog.
Sorry.
Chris plays another card.
Are you hustling me?
Brody goes to answer the door.
Our friends at Secret Service reached out to us. Finn Walden wants to come and visit Dana. He says it's important.
Finn Walden wants to pay Dana a visit.
I don't think she'd like that.
Shouldn't we ask her?
Ask me what?
Finn wants to come see you.
Why?
I don't know.
He says it's important.
He's been texting me all day. He sounds like a mess.
I'll let them know.
Thanks.
As he shuts the door, Brody's phone rings. It's a video call and he can see Carrie's face on the small screen. She's bound and gagged. Abu Nazir comes into view.
Are you alone?
No.
I will call you back in 1 minute.
Sorry, it's work.
Out in the hall.
Hey, just stretching my legs.
Looking a little frantic, he walks round the corridor. He stops by some other apartment doors and paces up and down with a desperate look on his face. When his phone rings again, he swiftly answers it and lets himself into one of the vacant apartments.
What the fuck have you done to Carrie?
Did you think it would be easy? That you could betray me and just walk away?
It's over. Get that into your fucking head.
It's not over.
Let me talk to her, goddammit!
Nicholas, calm down. If you want to help her, you will do exactly as I tell you. I need you to get into the vice president's home office.
Why?
There's a treadmill in there. Somewhere near it, there is a plastic case the size of a book. Inside it, there is a serial number.
How the fuck do you know all this?
New York Times, believe it or not. Get me the number.
Why? Tell me, goddammit!
Walden has a bad heart.
So?
His pacemaker can be wirelessly accessed with that number.
You're kidding me.
I'm not.
I won't do it.
Yes, you will.
No. I won't. Nazir? Nazir?
Send me the number, or I will kill her.
You'll kill her anyway.
Right here. Right now.
Okay.
Okay, this. Nazir? Nazir!
Brody lowers the phone. Carrie's being held in some sort of industrial space. Thick pipes run along the ceiling and the floor, and she's shackled to one of the lower ones with a plastic cable tie. Nazir makes his way off through a nearby door, and Carrie lets out some of her emotions. Her face is bloody and she's been gagged with a bandage-like cloth. Brody steps out into the corridor.
Hey, Dad. You gonna finish your game of hearts?
Not now.
Brody's oblivious to Chris's stung expression as he makes another call.
Carrington.
Jim. It's Nick Brody. Is the vice president there?
He's in a meeting with the Israeli ambassador.
Great. I need to talk to him. Something of an emergency.
Well, I can't interrupt the meeting.
All right, I understand. I'll be over. Will you keep him there?
I'll do my best, Congressman.
Brody knocks on one of the doors.
I got a small cyclone stirring over the matter of wheat subsidies. I gotta go talk to the vice president.
Of course. I'll need a car to take us to the Naval Observatory in 10 minutes.
Thanks.
Carrie glances around and notices a pile of broken pipes and metal nearby. With all her strength, she pulls herself up to a standing position, grimacing with pain as she moves. Leaning over the pipe she's tied to, she moves slowly along, her hands dragging against the metal as she goes. Wiping her nose with her hand, she reaches the end of the pipe. Among the metal debris is a rusty saw blade, and she stretches her foot out to it. She slides it towards her, but the door opens and Nazir strides out. She looks up at him with fear as he makes his way over to her. He forces her back down onto the floor. He slips a cable tie around her ankles and fastens it. As he attaches another, he holds her gaze, their eyes locked for a long moment. He leaves once more, as blood stains her wrists where the plastic ties have dug into her skin. She wearily rests her head against her arms. Saul's arrived at Carrie's smashed-up car. He leans into it and glances around, spotting her mobile phone in the footwell.
Oh, where the fuck are you, Carrie?
He wipes the screen with a handkerchief.
There's no record of her at any of the local hospitals or emergency rooms. Cops are still canvassing the neighborhood. We might get lucky.
Lucky?
No one saw the crash.
One guy says he saw a woman running away. Another says he saw a guy dragging a woman into another car.
Any surveillance tape? There's cameras all over the place down here.
Well, the cops are collecting what they can find. Our computers will run a search.
Who dropped the ball? Never should have let Carrie wander around unprotected.
Ditch Nazir, what's he up to?
Maybe carries a bargaining chip. Get himself out of the country.
Why haven't we heard from him?
I don't know.
Saul walks away, studying Carrie's phone. Brody's in the back of a sleek black car when his phone rings.
Carrie, is that you?
Brody, this is Saul Berenson. I'm calling on her phone. Carrie's missing. Police found a car over on 17th Street smashed to shit.
Looks like some kind of hit and run.
Last number she called was you.
What'd she say? Did she tell you where she was going? Brody, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, what'd she say?
Well, she told me it was time to tell Walton that I could no longer be a candidate for VP.
That's it?
We also discussed my resigning from Congress.
If you hear from her again, let me know.
I will.
The agent sitting in the back of the car with him has been listening to the conversation but doesn't comment. Dana's sitting on a sun lounger on the roof terrace next to a pool when Finn arrives, flanked by a team of Secret Service agents. He takes a seat on the lounger next to her.
What are you guys doing here? In hiding or something?
Turns out my dad is like a super spy and terrorists want to kill him or some shit.
Sounds
kind of
insane.
Doesn't it?
How come you didn't answer any of my texts?
She sits up a little.
What do you want, Finn?
He looks down at his hands and searches for the words.
Every morning I wake up, and for a few brief seconds I'm free. I can just look at the sky or listen to the birds. And then I remember the sound of that woman hitting the windshield. I remember that I've killed another human being. I can't take it back. You're the only one I can talk to about it. It makes me sick then. They hate me.
Did you know what your dad would do? That he would pay them off?
That's how the world works.
Finn lies back on the lounger.
Didn't know that, I guess.
Remember that night? Top of the Washington Monument. Can we start over?
Whatever we felt, we broke it. We killed it just the same way that we killed that woman.
Finn looks up to the sky with a heavy heart. And Dana leans back on her lounger.
That's Nazir less than 20 minutes before Carrie's accident. Security cameras caught him. That's his car. We traced the license plate, probably used a fake ID. It's a rental.
Where's this place?
5 blocks from where Carrie's car was hit on 17th Street.
Galvez comes in.
Fuck you doing here? You're supposed to be in Walter Reed.
I heard about Carrie. I want to help.
Here, take a look at this.
They study Virgil's screen. In the industrial space, Carrie hears a noise and shadows play against the wall. Nazir steps into view. He's holding a bottle of water, and he crouches down next to her. After removing her gag, he pulls some cloth from inside her mouth. He unscrews the cap from the bottle of water.
No.
He pours some of it down her chin, then drinks from the bottle himself.
As you please.
This is what you did to Brody, isn't it? A lot of pain, a little love. Am I supposed to feel grateful?
I don't care what you feel.
There's no way he can just waltz into the Naval Observatory and get you that serial number.
He's a resourceful man when he wants to be.
Not that resourceful.
He will do it to save you.
You're gonna kill me no matter what happens. Brody knows that.
Man gambles with what he has.
He crouches next to her again.
He will try.
Don't be so sure. He's smarter than you think.
You love him too. Perhaps we have that in common.
We have nothing in common.
Sometimes when you're breaking a man, an emotional transference takes place. For me, with Nicholas, it was quite powerful. It was really a kind of love.
You're never gonna leave this country alive.
I know. And I don't care.
He gets up.
Bullshit!
He pauses and hangs his head before turning back to her and taking a seat on something nearby.
You can't even imagine that, can you? Believing in something bigger than you, more important than you. We are at war. I'm a soldier.
You're a terrorist.
His expression hardens.
Imagine you're sitting down to dinner with your wife and children. Out of the sky, as if thrown by an angry god, a drone strike hits and destroys all of them. Who is the terrorist?
It's the last day of Ramadan. A young man enters a Shia village pushing a cart full of candy and toys. He waits in the school playground for all the children to gather, and he reaches back and flips a switch.
We fight with what we have.
You pervert the teachings of the Prophet and call it a cause. You turn teenagers into suicide bombers.
Generation after generation must suffer and die. We are prepared for that. Are you?
Whatever it takes.
Really? With your pension plans and organic foods? Your beach houses and sports clubs? Do you have the perseverance, the tenacity, the faith? Because we do. He can bomb us, starve us, occupy our holy places. But we will never lose our faith. We carry God in our hearts, our souls. To die is to join him. It may take a century, 2 centuries, 3 centuries. But we will exterminate you.
Like I said, you're a terrorist.
The car that Brody's traveling in arrives at a checkpoint. An armed soldier waves for them to stop while another sweeps under the car for explosives.
ID, please.
I've got Congressman Brody for the Vice President.
The soldier salutes Brody and the car window closes. As they drive through some black gates, Brody hurriedly pulls a tie from his pocket. Looking a little nervous, he hurriedly puts it round his neck and starts to tie it. When they arrive at a large building, a soldier opens his door, and Brody adjusts the tie knot as he gets out. Inside, he passes a young woman at the reception desk and is then greeted by another soldier.
Stacy.
Congressman Brody.
Hello.
I'm sorry, but the Vice President's still in his meeting with Ambassador Alon.
Oh, no worry, I'll wait.
It might be a while.
I don't mind.
Brody gestures to a chair in the lobby and takes a seat. The soldier follows him.
Can I get you anything? Water, lemonade?
Double shot of your best bourbon. Just kidding, I'm fine.
Left alone, he shifts a little in his seat. After a few moments, he leans round to look out at the terrace where Walden's having a meeting with another man. Thinking to himself, he gets up from his chair and addresses two suited men standing nearby.
Nature calls.
He walks confidently across the lobby and approaches two other suited men.
Gentlemen, bathroom. Thank you.
Following their directions, he walks into a brightly lit reception room. Out of sight, he finds a stairwell and cautiously, he makes his way up it. He knocks at one of many doors along a corridor. He lets himself into Walden's office, a dark wood-paneled room, and shuts the door behind him. Spotting the treadmill, he hurriedly searches the bookcase next to it. Finding nothing, he rifles through a metal tray in the underside of a nearby television stand. It only holds paperwork. At another bookcase, he runs his hands along the tops of the leather-bound editions, then looks in the cupboards underneath. Eventually, he finds a grey plastic case. He studies it momentarily, then opens the lid. While he's searching for the code, he hears voices outside. He freezes briefly, then keeps looking, finding the number Nazir's after on the inside of the lid. The digits are too small, so he grabs a magnifying glass from a shelf and studies them again. After studying the serial number under a desk lamp, he reaches for his phone and makes a call.
Text it to me.
Let Carrie go first.
Text me the number, then I will let her go.
No, he won't. Once you got what you need, you'll kill her.
The minute I let her go, you won't text me the number.
You've got to trust me.
How could I possibly trust you? Send me the number, or I will kill her.
Nazir, if you kill her, you will never get this number.
You have 5 seconds.
Listen to me. Listen to me, Nazir. Listen. Let Carrie go, and I swear I will send it to you. I swear on the soul of Isa.
Why would I believe that?
Because you know how much I loved him. And because you know how much I hate Walden. He deserves to die for what he did. And what he will do as president.
Swear again.
I swear.
Swear on the immortal soul of my son, Isa Muhammad.
I swear on Isa's immortal soul.
He grimaces a little, screwing his eyes shut, then opens them again to look at the video feed.
Is he here?
Nazir cuts the cable ties with a knife.
Nazir! Go! Go!
Go.
Carrie pulls herself painfully to her feet and races off.
Let me see her, goddammit! I want to see her actually getting away, Nazir. It's too dark. It's too dark, Nazir. I can't see her.
Carrie makes her way down a flight of steps into a dark, warehouse-sized room. Finding a window shutter, she slides it open and clambers out over the dusty ledge. She's at some sort of abandoned power plant and races away across some grass. Nazir films her escape for Brody.
She's gone. Send me the number.
Brody suddenly seems unsure.
Send me the number now.
Nodding, Brody hastily grabs the magnifying glass and studies the serial number once more. He taps it into his phone as Carrie arrives on a road. A car ignores her waving.
Asshole!
Nazir receives the number and sends it on. Elsewhere, a young man gets Nazir's message. He in turn taps the serial number into his laptop and types correlate access model. Now Brody hurriedly and clumsily replaces everything. As soon as he's locked the door of the cupboard housing the small plastic case, Walden walks in.
There you are.
Thought you left.
Getting a feel for the joint?
Yeah. Hope you don't mind.
Not at all. Be yours soon enough.
Nazir's operative taps away at a laptop while Brody seems flustered.
You all right? What's the matter?
Yeah, I'm fine. How was your meeting with Ambassador Alon?
We're getting close. Another week or so, we'll be ready to deliver the bunker buster Israel needs to take out Iran's nuclear enrichment plant at Natanz.
I thought that was off the table.
It was. Estes told me what you did for CIA. Not the details, of course, but he said you were instrumental in bringing down Nazir's network.
I was able to help a little, yes.
How do you manage to do all that and keep it to yourself? As soon as I can get that operation declassified, we are going to tell this whole fucking country what you did. Marine fights terrorists at home as well as abroad. What did you want to see me about?
Right. Right. Well, sir, I'm afraid that, in fact, this can never be mine.
Why not?
Because I've decided to withdraw my name from consideration for the VP spot. I'm sorry, sir. It's for my family.
Fuck your family. We're talking about the second highest office in this land. The possibility someday of the highest office in this land. You don't walk away from that. Not for anyone.
The operative types EPTEST fibrillation on. Walden clutches his chest.
You okay? I don't know.
Brody's resolve returns.
Actually, it's not for my family. It's for me. Because I want to feel clean again. And because I pretty much disagree with everything you say and do.
On a second laptop, the operative's monitoring Walden's heart rate.
That's very funny. You got some balls, Brody, I'll give you that.
I'm not joking.
Suddenly, consumed with pain, Walden drops into a chair.
God, doctor. I don't think so. God damn it.
Walden lunges for the phone, but Brody pushes it out of the way.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
The two men scrabble.
You still don't get it, do you?
Becoming limp as his heart gives out, Walden drops to the floor, lowered in by Brody.
I'm killing you.
Walden reaches up to Brody, but the life slowly slips away from him. Brody trembles as he looks down at the dead man, and the operative makes a call.
Khalasat.
Nazir receives the message. Carrie runs along the road and waves down a truck.
You fucking nuts? Jesus, what happened to you?
Give me your cell phone.
I'm not giving you my fucking cell phone.
This is a matter of national security. Give me your fucking cell phone.
No, hey! Hey! Come back with that!
Having stolen his phone, she runs off.
Yeah.
Saul, it's Carrie.
Carrie, where the fuck are you?
I'm in New Zealand in an abandoned mill.
Where?
I have no idea.
Give me my phone, you
bitch!
Where
are we? Where the fuck are we?
What? We're on Highway 50.
We're on Highway 50.
Right, east of Chantilly.
Highway 50, east of Chantilly.
We'll find you, stay put. Do not go after Nazir. We're on our way. Highway 50, east of Chantilly.
Here. I'm sorry. It was an emergency.
Emergency? East of Chantilly, east of Chantilly. 50.
There.
50.
Dalton's Mill, halfway between Middlebrook
okay,
and Chantilly.
Call state police and tell them to surround the place. Then grab every available body and get over there.
Yes, sir.
I'll alert the FBI and the rest of Homeland Security.
David and Peter share a look. As Peter hurries out, David picks up the phone. Twilight has fallen as the truck trundles away, and Carrie is left standing at the side of the road. She glances up and down the road, then starts to walk. Brody rushes to the top of the stairs.
Hey, get a doctor! I need a doctor! The vice president's having a heart attack! Will somebody get a doctor?
As Saul, Peter, and the others hurry out of the building, a man steps out to meet them.
Saul Berenson.
Yes.
You wanted upstairs.
Upstairs, what for?
It's important. That's all they told me.
I'm on the way to catch a terrorist. What could be more important than that?
They didn't say.
Jesus Christ, go ahead.
I'll catch up.
Who's asking for me?
I don't know, sir.
What do you mean you don't know? Who told you to get me?
They just want to ask you some questions, sir.
Questions? Hey, what the fuck are you talking about?
There's a room waiting for us downstairs.
I thought you said we were going upstairs. Who the fuck I get your fucking hands off me?
Saul glances around him.
Call Deputy Director Estes. He'll straighten this out.
He's fully aware.
They escort Saul back into the building. Carrie's arrived back at the gloomy mill. Once inside, she picks up an iron bar from the floor and runs through the building. She finds herself in a vast space, dark but for an orange glow that seeps in through windows in the distance. Next, she makes her way down some stairs and hears a noise. Stepping cautiously forward, she spots a door. Holding the iron bar aloft, she makes her way over to it. She disappears into the darkness.